Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 17, the victory of Hiranyaksha. And today we are reading verse 21 and verse 22. 21 does not have a purple, so I assume it's not on your sheets there. Let me just read it and then we'll do 22 together as usual. Tamvikshadu Sahajava Rana Kanchana Nupura Vajayantya Sraja Jushma Ansha Nyasa Mahajada. Translation: Hiranyaksha's temper was difficult to control. He had anklets of gold tinkling about his feet. He was adorned with a gigantic garland, and he rested his huge mace on one of his shoulders. And verse 22.
Mano
Virya
Varosikta
Astrinya Akuto Vaya Vita Nililire Deva Tarsha Trasta Ivaya Mano Virya Varosikta Asrinya Makutovaya Vita Nili Lire Deva
Vita Nili Lire
Tarksha Trasta Ivaya Mano Virya Varosikta Asrinyam Akutobaya
Asrinyam Akutobaya
Vita Nilil Yire Deva
Vita Nilil Yire Deva
Harishya Trasta Ivahaya
Harishya Trasta Ivahaya
Mano Virya Varosikta
Mano Virya Varosikta
Asrinyam Akutobaya
Asrinyam Akutobaya
Vita Nilil Yire Deva
Vita Nilil Yire Deva
Harsha Trasta Ivahaya
Harsha Trasta Ivahaya
Yeah. Manaviriya.
Manaviriya.
By mental and bodily strength.
By mental and bodily strength. Vara.
By the moon.
By the
moon. Utsikta.
Utsikta.
Proud. Asriya.
Asriya.
Not able to be checked.
Not able to be checked.
Akutabaya.
Akutabaya.
Fearing no one.
Fearing no one.
Vita.
Vita.
Frightened.
Frightened.
Nilil ire.
Nilil
ire. Hid
themselves. Hid
Deva.
Deva.
The demigods.
The demigods.
Tarishya.
Tarishya.
Garuda.
Garuda.
Trasta.
Trasta.
Frightened of.
Frightened of.
Eva.
Eva.
Life.
Life.
Ahaya.
Ahaya.
Snakes.
Snakes.
Translation. His mental and bodily strength, as well as the boon conferred upon him, had made him proud. He feared death at the hands of no one, and there was no checking him. The gods, therefore, were seized with fear at his very sight, and they hid themselves, even as snakes hide themselves, for fear of Garuda. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Asuras are generally strongly built, as described here, and therefore their mental condition is very sound, and their prowess is also extraordinary. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, having received the boon that they would not be killed by any other living entity within this universe, were almost immortal, and thus they were completely fearless. Manoviriya Garuncita Asriya Makatovaya Vita Nidil Ire Devas Tarksha Trasta Iva Aya. His mental and bodily strength, as well as the boon conferred upon him, had made him proud. He feared death at the hands of no one, and there was no checking him. The gods, therefore, were seized with fear at his very sight, and they hid themselves, even as snakes hide themselves, for fear of Garuda. Namaha Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasadaya Kutalaya Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaura Vasacharya Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vasacharya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivastani Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakamtrivisya, Sindhu Vyevcha, Vanitana Bhavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Namaha. Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Namaha. So, yes, those are continuing the description of Hiranyaksha. Not Hiranyakashipu so much, but particularly Hiranyaksha, who, they were twins, but he was the younger in a very, very slight way, but he was the younger, and he took himself to be like that. And from the way the verse ends, what the Prabhupada says in the purport, that the same benediction or benedictions which Hiranyakashipu had received which Maharaj was talking about a little yesterday, that Hiranyaksha also had the same type of boons, somehow or other. As Prabhupada says, almost immortal, almost, but not quite. And, you know, when things are not quite complete, well, then they're not complete. So as a result, they both came to Radha, what dramatic ends in due course of time. But in the meantime, of course, they really showed off and made just, well, they were very proud. Here the verse says Radha was very proud. So generally people are very proud, particularly they're very proud. They must show off and display whatever type of qualification they have or they feel they have, which they are very proud of. So Hiranyaksha was like that. He was very proud, but at the same time as the previous verse 21, which we just quickly read through, verse 21 made the point that he was Dusaha Jama. Dusaha Jama means he had a temper which was difficult to control. Means basically couldn't be controlled. And a temper like that, combined with great pride, oh, means a very unpleasant person, just a very shocking type of person, violent, vicious, and yes, just carried away, so much carried away. And we'll read actually in the next few verses that his temper was so great, he just couldn't control it, he had to express it. He just had to express it. Not just verbally, but physically. And also being very proud. He's just driven by these things. So, what is described, one thing that's described in the next few verses is that he was always looking for someone to fight with, to just take his temper out on, and just to show how he was better, how he was the best. So what he ended up doing was he entered the ocean and he started bashing the waves with his club, which, you know, it's not the sort of brightest thing to do, really. What can you say? But this sort of thing happens to people who are in this type of condition. Very heavy temper, which no one can control, including themselves, and very proud. So it comes out in bizarre ways. Many of you wouldn't remember because you're too young. But I think it was in the 60s, something like that, there was a boxer, an American boxer, who initially his birth name was Cassius Clay. You heard of Cassius Clay? And he was just like this. Now, of course, he's not powerful like Hiranyaksha, but he was somewhat powerful. And whenever he was interviewed, whenever he'd be in public, He would declare loudly for the world to hear again and again, I am the greatest. I am the greatest. And for a while, he managed to do relatively well. But after some time, you know what it's like in the material world. Age catches up and things like that. And he was defeated. And he could no longer say he was the greatest. Although surely within himself, there was still that drive. But he just couldn't do it anymore. Shri Shri Radha Radha Shri Giri Govinda Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Yes. So he ended up being defeated, and then he reached the point where there was just no question of him perhaps beating anyone at all, because he became extremely ill. He got Parkinson's and maybe a bit of dementia thrown in, and you know, senility and all these things, and he became just, you know, like a handicapped person, physically and mentally. Just a very unfortunate soul. Of course, he was fortunate in that he met devotees. He met devotees and he got a book or some books. And apparently, he was kind of pleasantly, his mood was pleasant when he met the devotees. But at least in these terms, this very grossly materialistic sense, this is what happened to the material. This is what happens to the materialists. It's what happened to him, and what is what will happen in due course to Hiranyaksha. And he'll just end up, at least physically, as a dead body on the ground, not able to fight against even an ant or something like that will just be able to come and eat him. This is the material world. Therefore, it is never a good idea to become proud. Even though under certain circumstances it may appear that there's some scope for becoming proud, or you know, you could justify perhaps some pride that may appear like that. But practically never is pride anything other than detrimental and negative, and just very ugly, actually. Yes. So we read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the narration of the Rasa dance, and at some point in the middle of the Rasa dance, apparently the gopis became proud, in inverted commas, but something. In that, the way Krishna was manifesting himself, he had expanded to be with each gopi individually. But by his mystical powers, it appeared to each of those gopis that she was the only one he was with, and he was not with the others, although he was. But it seemed like that. So, the description of the Bhagavatam is there, that they became, in a certain sense of the term, a little proud, and then Krishna abandoned them and went away with Srimati Radharani, who just shortly thereafter told Krishna she was feeling tired and could he please carry her? And he said, yes, just put your arm around my neck and I'll pick you up and I'll carry you. And she put her arm around his neck, but then his neck was not there because he had disappeared even from her, because she was a little proud. Then, of course, we should just be very careful about how we see that and not just think that, yes, well, you know, everyone gets proud. I do sometimes, the Radhyaksha did, Radharani did, and we all just get proud, and that's life, because it's not. The gopis, and particularly Srimati Radharani, they're just in a different category whatsoever, all together. And it's really just about our edification that they apparently became proud. And Krishna interacted with them in that way, but really it's just to teach us a lesson, and they're definitely not proud. They're definitely not proud. So, but we should learn that Srila Prabhupada describes there, in the Krishna books, Prabhupada describes that Lord Krishna, he is ready and willing to tolerate any sort of fault on the part of his devotee, because we are very small. And the tendency for fault to be there, that tendency is there, it's strong, it's such a major part of material existence. So, some fault in this way or that, Kaliya Doshini Dev Raja, as Srila Shukadeva Goswami says, this Kali Yuga is just an ocean of fault. It's not just an ocean in which there is some fault. It is just an ocean of fault. So don't be surprised if some fault is there. And Krishna is not surprised. And he can tolerate it. As long as the devotee carries on trying to render service and practice Krishna consciousness, Krishna is very tolerant and merciful. But Prabhupada makes the point that Krishna, even though he can tolerate so many different types of faults, but he cannot tolerate pride on the part of the devotee. If the devotee becomes proud, Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna changes his attitude towards the devotee. And then Krishna, by his mercy, Prabhupada says, that Krishna deals with the devotee in such ways to kill that pride. Yes, but that may be a little difficult, so therefore it can be quite painful when Krishna, if Krishna comes to the point of feeling he needs to kill our pride. Killing. It's usually pretty dramatic. To kill the pride, it may hurt. Yes. Pride cometh before a fall. Yes. So therefore, as aspiring devotees, aspiring to become devotees, we should try to be mindful and observant and well, intolerant against our own pride, and on guard if some pride crops up, to really try to rid ourselves of it. Such an important part of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where where Lord Chaitanya, anyway, Lord Chaitanya receives the instruction of Trivada Visini Chaitanya, Tarori Vasi Ishtana, Madhana Madhadeva Kirtaniya Sadhari, that we should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking ourselves low and extraordinary, be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sins, of all prestige, ready to offer all respect to others. And then in such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Just immediately after that, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that all devotees should note this and keep this verse like a necklace around your neck. In other words, always there. Always. That it should always be there. We should always be in that type of consciousness. Pride is a great killer of Krishna consciousness and of anything nice, even simply in material terms. But as far as Hiranyaksha was concerned, he felt he was justified in being proud because he had that benediction. He was more or less or almost practically just about immortal. And plus, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, the asuras are generally strongly built. Oftentimes their bodies are just like that. If not, they go to the gym to get their bodies like that. Same thing, so they can show off. And people will think, oh, look at that. Look at him. I remember one time we were driving back from Johannesburg and we stopped at one of these petrol stations where they have a shop and all that. And there was we were inside the shop there. And there was one young man there who was one of these bodybuilders. He was the real thing. He was just, you know, he had overdone it considerably. And so he was in the shop there, just sort of very close to us. And things are going on in the shop. And then suddenly, what happened? In came another young man who was even more, whoa, he was just overflowing. And the first young man, strongly built, very strongly built, his girlfriend or someone was there, and he was close to us, and he said, ah, look at him! Like he was reckless. Look at him! And like, what happened? Yeah. And you could see his sense of well-being and confidence and pride had just been violently assaulted. So the Asuras, Prabhupada says, are generally strongly built, and Hiranyaksha definitely was. And Prabhupada says, and therefore, their mental condition is very sound. It seems it's just another way of saying that they're very self-confident or proud. Yeah, like that. Because they're so strong. And there's that sense I can practically deal with anything. And as Hiranyakashipu said, death, close your portals. Death, close your doors. You don't have access to me. So, yeah, They are physically strong, and because they are physically strong, they have that type of confidence. But, as Srila Prabhupada said actually, Srila Prabhupada, I remember hearing a lecture many, many years ago, I mentioned it before. He was talking about Mahatma Gandhi, who was not a strong person in that sense, but in another sense, he was very strong. And at least he was extremely powerful, I mean, extremely popular. Extremely popular. And, yeah. So, you know, the people who have these types of assets, physical strength, popularity, fame, etc., they have a type of confidence. They don't feel like they're ordinary people who are susceptible to the ordinary things that ordinary people are susceptible to. But Srila Prabhupada said about Mahatma Gandhi in this class, he said that even though Mahatma Gandhi was so famous and worshipped by millions, but when his time came, death simply picked him up and threw him away. There was no special glamour to the whole process, just thrown away like some rubbish is thrown away. So this is a situation also with Hiranyaksha. He's got such a violent and vile temper, just crazily aggressive. Can you imagine bashing the waves of the ocean? What can you say? But he ended up as a dead body. And what to speak of the ants, even the little bacteria, microscopic, they were able to attack him, his body, and eat his body. So, this is the sort of ignominious nature of life in the material world. It's just a very sad situation. And therefore, one point we can take from this is that, as a very important point, that we shouldn't take our material bodies too seriously. And of course, well, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarvabhutana Vrindashir Juratishti, Brahmaya Sarvabhutani, Yantra Rudani Mayaya. That the living entity is here, under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and situated on a yantra, on a machine, made of material energy. So when you have a machine which you're using, something which you're to use constructively in your life, of course you have to look after the machine, be it a car, a telephone, computer, or just whatever it may be. It needs to be, it must be looked after. But that doesn't mean, looking after it does not mean that you have to just become absorbed in it and it becomes the focal point of your life. Prabhupada told the story of the bird in the cage. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. The bird in the cage is like the soul, and the cage itself is like the body, and the person got the bird in a like luxury cage, very beautiful cage, very attractive cage, and the person looked after the cage wonderfully, but neglected the bird, and the bird died. And the friend came along and said, yeah, well, nice cage. But there's one problem with it. There's a dead bird in the bottom of it. So life in these bodies is like that. We must look after these bodies, at least to some reasonable extent, because they belong to Krishna, and Krishna wants us to use them in his service. So they have to be maintained in some decent way, but without just becoming fanatical about it. That's material life. Just like when Sanatana Goswami, having just joined Lord Chaitanya and having run all the way for days and days and days and neglected his body and thereby developed a skin, very unpleasant skin condition. He was thinking, this body is just too much. Horrible disease. Let me just throw the body under the wheels of the rump cart and just give up this useless body. But one day Lord Chaitanya visited him and Haridas Thakur, they were staying together. And Lord Chaitanya, he just started speaking to both of them about how undesirable suicide is. And Lord Chaitanya said, if I thought I could develop love for Krishna by killing this body, I would give up hundreds of bodies in a moment. But that's not how we develop love for Krishna. So he's just speaking in a general sense. And Siddhartha Goswami was wondering, has he understood how I'm thinking? Because he hadn't told anyone. Has the Lord understood? Could he have understood? But then Lord Chaitanya just turned to him and said, well, actually, he turned first of all to Haridas Thakur and said, just see this man, pointing to Siddhartha Goswami. He wants to destroy someone else's property. Means the body. He wants to destroy someone else's property. This is just wrong. And then he told Siddhartha Goswami, actually, there's so many things I want to achieve through your body. Yes, so many things I want to achieve through the medium of your body. So like this, he convinced Siddhartha Goswami not to commit suicide. Then he embraced Siddhartha Goswami and his body became whole again. So yes, even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his essay about Vatsasura, one of the demons Krishna killed in his Vrindavan pastimes, Vatsasura came in the form of a small calf, but actually was a demon and he wanted to kill Krishna. So, in his essay, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta talks about how children are restricted from certain activities of sense gratification which are just readily available for adults, like intoxication as an example. There are laws that if someone is under whatever, some particular age, 18 perhaps, they're not allowed. They can be arrested if they're found in a drinking place or drinking liquor. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains here, discussing this, that there's a reason in the minds of the adults. Their reason is that if the young person gets involved in these things like drinking, then he's going to burn his body out when he's young. So, He should be restricted until he's an adult. Yeah. Otherwise, when he's an adult, if his body's already burnt out by drinking as a child, then how's he going to live and enjoy life as an adult? So it's really just the idea is how to facilitate and maximize sense gratification. If in the childhood and youth you don't burn your body out with heavy sense gratification, you can enjoy more when you're older. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes that point, but then he makes another point, sort of related point, that when these people get sick, the materialists, then they are restricted. You know, someone's hospitalized. They cannot go out and drink liquor and all these things. They're just restricted. They may have to just simply lie there, just immobilized. But later, when they're well, then they'll get into those things again. And in this way, they will cause great problems for themselves by engaging in sense gratification. When they're well, be involved in simple activity, get so much karma. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, for such a person, better to be sick. They should just be so sick they're hospitalized. It's better. They shouldn't get better. It's not good for them to get better. Let them be sick. And then they'll be restricted from getting so deeply entangled in sinful activity. Yes. So, you know, if you're unreactious somehow, if something had clicked, and he had decided, wait a minute, maybe I should become a devotee and just control my temper and control my senses and chant 16 rounds a day, Hiranyakshu would have done a lot better. Actually, he did that. He did that later, Hiranyakshu, when he took birth as Madai in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Hiranyakshu became Madai, who initially was demoniac, but then he was saved by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and he started chanting 16 rounds, or at least, you know, chanting all the time and rendering service and being very humble. And he went back to Godhead. But poor old Hiranyaksha, he's got this sense of invincibility, pride, and this arrogance that I can destroy anyone. And what happened? He just came to a very unfortunate end. So we as aspiring devotees, we should really do our level best to avoid pride. Of course, in one sense, we are fortunate in that we have a lot to be humble of. We should pray to Krishna, please help me understand more what I really am. And not be in this delusion that I'm a cool person and like that. Krishna, please help me understand more clearly what I really am, so then I can become actually humble in a real way, seeing the truth that actually I am a fairly useless person, which unfortunately is true. And then understand that if I have any good qualities or abilities, if sometimes I'm able to be successful, it's only by the mercy of the Lord. He may impart a little potency, intelligence, ability, something like that, and thereby I may become successful. But it's just His mercy. It's not that I am inherently qualified, just as part of my being, because it's not like that. Because like Hiranyaksha, when the time of death comes, or even like Cassius Clay, just as old age comes, your position becomes materially hopeless. Yes. So, humility. Humility in the sense of reality. That's all. Humility in the sense of understanding the reality of what I really am. And who is Krishna? And what is the mercy of Krishna? And how, when I receive the mercy of Krishna, and I really see it as such and appreciate it as such, my life becomes wonderful. I become very happy and I become successful. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question? Maharaj, enlighten us. Speak up, please. This is really hard to hear.
Last time she made a mercy in a transition to guide us to understand who we really are. And I think we really don't have a proper conception that we have eternal tiny sort of soul. Even as the yogis, some of you give it to understand, but sometimes we may get guided away based on external positions and identifications. And we try to be humble and still carry those identifications, and that levels of humility is somewhat superficial. We really don't understand, we haven't accepted who we are. And we always be trying to compensate in some way because of the lacking, because of the misunderstanding of who we are. The humility to really be genuine and properly manifest starts with understanding who we are and why Krishna is understanding.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Mataji's, any points? Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Srila Prabhupada King!
Jaya!